Welcome back to another episode of the Greater Greener Georgia podcast, where we discuss the issues that shape Georgia's environment. Today, we're listening in on an interview with Cristal Valdez, an environmental community justice organizer with Poder Latinx. Before we dive in, don't forget to hit that like button and subscribe to keep the conversation going.
Glad to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your organization first.
So Poder Latinx is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization where we dedicate ourselves to educate the Latinx community, people of color, and indigenous communities about immigration, economics, and environmental justice.
What are some of the biggest barriers that voters are facing today?
I feel like one of the biggest barriers is definitely the purging. That people don't know about, that you could want to go and like voting next week and you wouldn't even know that you're not allowed to because your vote was purged. Like, let's say if you're at home, definitely open your phone and go on my voters page. Mm-hmm. Look, all you have to put down is like your first name, I believe, like first letter, your last name, where you live, and then it'll let you know if like where your polling area is. If it doesn't say that you have a polling area, then that's an issue for sure. If you're about to vote and you're about to enter the doors, I definitely recommend also pulling out that phone because you never know. I'm glad that these polling areas definitely have Wi-Fi, so that's something that you can quickly have accessibility to, because I feel like something that we forget is that now these days our phones are valuable tools.
That's right. Information is so accessible these days, including your registration status. And like I always say, vote early and make sure you check early. Versus, you know, waiting till the last second before you are in line in some cases. I always check before an upcoming election just to make sure that my status is still active because you never know. You simply never know. Georgia continues to see a lot of national attention for voting laws in the state, recent ones such as SB 202. How have those changes impacted voter access in our state?
I think that's a really good question. I feel like it's changed the accessibility because, like, a lot of people don't know these laws are happening. They don't know bills are going out. Mm-hmm. And the little, I feel like the smallest inconvenience unmotivates someone. It's already hard to be engaged. Mm-hmm. It's hard in the sense of, like, we see all these things happening in media and it makes us sad. And it's like, oh, there's no point to anything. I don't see the point to go out to vote. I don't see the point of even checking on my phone. I don't see the point of understanding this law. And so another law already just like brings us down even more. Mm-hmm. And I understand like it's hard to keep up with our mental health because the mental health part also leads to like, can you be civically involved? Because being civically involved can be draining for some people. And so it's important, like there's that cycle of keeping ourselves balanced, informed, also healthy, and the laws just make it harder.
Absolutely. You know, we have to be accountable for accountability. I always think that sometimes as voters, we are responsible as well for just the state of, you know, things. Oftentimes we kind of shrug. You're right. We don't need any reason. It could be traffic. It could be raining. There are fair weather voters out there.
Yeah.
Not that I'm throwing shade at anybody, but I might be. But there are many reasons that would compel us not to go vote, mm-hmm. Despite the fact that we still have many avenues to vote still in Georgia. You can vote by absentee in the state. So let's say you don't want to actually physically leave and go and vote. You can also vote early if you don't want to wait till election day. Georgia fortunately has 2 weeks of early voting. Many counties have weekend votings on Saturday and Sunday. And of course, there's always election day, but you know, something that I think a lot of people have been doing in recent years is to talk more about the access we do have. Mm-hmm. Because if we don't take advantage of these opportunities and these options that we fortunately have in voting, those could be used as excuses against us for, you know, taking those things away. So, you know, I do think it's important, you know, while we kind of, it's easy to see a slip into the apathy kind of part and the fatigue of always voting in Georgia. But we have to realize that we still have so many options and we should continue to use and take advantage of those options to make sure that we don't find ourselves at the ballot box or, you know, trying to walk in and cast a ballot and then being told that, oh, your status is inactive or there's an issue with your ballot. Voter suppression is real, however,
oh,
you know,
100%.
And they do play a part in Georgia elections. Who do you think are most impacted by that?
100% people of color. Our communities, low-income communities. I feel like it's important to know your history, especially like in a country like ours. We have a lot of history. We honestly, the U.S. is pretty young. Mm-hmm. If you compare it to other countries, we've been moving up and down, left and right. We've been learning a lot. We've been forgetting a lot. We've been making the same mistakes. And something that I learned that opened my eyes a lot when I first got into this work was how many countries you don't have to register to vote. That's something that's particular to the U.S.
Right.
Something that came from voter suppressions to Black communities, colored communities, especially back then, because you know back then couldn't vote. Mm-hmm. A lot of Black communities couldn't vote, and so when they could, then they put these tests. They put these laws, and then they removed the tests. But then they made the registration. So the registration is a process that prevents us from wanting to feel motivated from even going to register. So you're not registered, you can't vote. But you're a citizen, but you live in the U.S. Your whole family's been here for like 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
And there are countries, all you do is take your ID.
You touched on several good points there. You know, it doesn't have to be so inaccessible. Yes, the United States is one of those countries where you do have to register to vote. We don't have automatic voter registration like some countries do, where you turn 18 and, you know, congratulations, you're registered to vote. Of course, there's a lack of education with regards to civics in schools right mm-hmm. now, too.
100%.
So we're not even really kind of equipped. We graduate and they tell you, you get a job, you go to school, but no one tells you how to be a citizen. No one mm-hmm. tells you how to actually be, you know, involved and civically engaged in this process. And of course, you don't have to be a experienced voter to vote.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that sometimes could be intimidating for younger voters, you know, first time voters, just sort of like, well, I don't know. You know, that's understandable. You can empathize with that, but you don't have to be an experienced voter to vote. And, you know, as organizers and what we do in community is to make sure that folks do have that education, that they can learn about the candidates, that they can, you know, take the time to explore their options in voting. So, you know, you're right. There's definitely many suppressions that continue to exist. But that's why we continue to make sure that we advocate on behalf of expanding access,
mm-hmm.
Which could even include, like, language barriers, right?
Yeah, no, 100%. Say, for example, it also depends what cities you're in.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned that as I've grown in this community. For example, let's say Miami, Florida, which is where I'm from. A lot of Spanish speakers. It's a very rich culture in Cuban culture, Puerto Rican culture. The movies are even in Spanish over there. When I moved here to Georgia, it's not like that. So it's very, there's a barrier in language. And they say that Spanish is the most, like, one of the most second languages spoken in the U.S., but yet still it's not in the polls. It's not on the flyers. It's not put out there in, like, interviews like this, because we're not going to speak Spanish in this interview. So, like, in that sense, this is also, like, a Spanish speaker might come up to this video and be like, oh, I don't understand what they're saying.
Well, I'll invite you back to do it all in Spanish. How about that?
I would love that. And no, it's like hard too, because mm-hmm. there's only two of us, you know, retaking this video in another language. So there's a pros, there's the cons, they're understanding that language barrier is a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
I said, like, you know, Spanish is the second spoken language in the U.S., but can you imagine other languages? Vietnamese, Portuguese, those are not languages that are spoken common. And it must be even harder for them to get accessibility to go out to vote, to even read a menu, to go watch a movie. And the U.S., we talk about how culturally amazing we are, how diverse we are, but yet we don't practice that.
Exactly.
Yes. So that's always been like, I was like, wait, they promote that about how amazing U.S. is, but they don't actually, we don't practice it. We don't actually think about how language makes a big difference. And it does, to the point where, like, they're anthropologists that only study language. It's its own field, because that's how important it is to humans and our culture and the way we are.
Just a quick reminder, we have a membership program for our biggest supporters. If you want to become a GC VIP and have access to exclusive events and cool swag, make a donation today. To become a GC VIP, you can make a one-time donation of $100 or more, or you can become a monthly donor of any amount. Even $5 a month makes a huge impact on our work. To make your donation, head over to gcvedfund.org/donate, and don't forget to check the box that says make this contribution monthly if that's how you're choosing to support us. Thanks, and enjoy the rest of the show.
Let's kind of pivot to another upcoming election. You know, there's always one in Georgia. A lot of folks after last year, 2024, sort of, you know, saying midterms. I'm hearing it already in conversations, but we have elections in Georgia in 2025. We've had elections so far this year, special elections, the ones out in Cobb County. But we have a pretty significant statewide election that's coming up here in Georgia. The Public Service Commission, a lot of folks haven't really heard about that, but essentially it's a 5-member board that makes energy regulatory decisions on our utilities. So essentially that just means in more layman's terms, they decide how much we pay in our bills, whether that be your electricity bill, whether that be your gas bill, or perhaps you have a landline. The Public Service Commission makes decisions that impact all of those areas, and that has a lot to do with our finances. Mm-hmm. There are 5 PSC commissioners that represent 5 districts, but what's a little unusual about this election is that it's statewide. They're called at large, so voters from all over the state can decide. I live, for example, in Savannah, but I will see candidates on the ballot from PSC District 3, which is 3 counties here in the metro area. So knowing that we have this election coming up twice this year, primary, and of course, later again in the fall, and knowing that the commissioners make decisions that impact essentially our finances, because, you know, gas, electricity, those are bills, why should Georgia's be more concerned with rising energy, gas, and electricity bills?
Well, that's a great question, because I feel like it's important that we consider that these 5 people on this board have the power to determine where our money goes. Hmm. You know, someone that at the moment may be a college student and working at the same time, they have a lot to do. They're not at school. They're at work. They're not in any of those places. They're sleeping, and then they're doing the whole same cycle. And part-time jobs don't give you a lot of money. Mm-hmm. But if you live in your own apartment or you have roommates, that money is going to go towards those bills more than it can go towards your food or paying for gas for your car to go to campus or to pay for your books, because maybe your scholarship wasn't able to fund all your books. So there are these necessities that we need in life, and bills are starting to take a lot of our money, and people of color in Georgia have been affected most by this. There's the energy burden, mm-hmm. for example, which it's like a percentile of, I believe, more than 6% of people are affected in the state of Georgia, where like your bills are the main focus that you're paying for.
That's your paycheck, essentially.
Yes. Yeah, like you can get paid, let's say, 2 weeks, $500, because maybe you make $10 an hour mm-hmm. at your part-time job, and that goes straight to your bills. You could be paying $200 for just to turn on your AC. Mm-hmm. That's half of your bill. So now you have to like budget things, and it gets difficult. So I feel like if money is involved, you need to be involved as well.
I agree. You know, I definitely think that a lot of people say, "What? Don't play about my money," right?
Yes.
If that's the case, then you definitely should be invested in voting in the Public Service Commission elections. And just, you know, you talked about, like, you know, college students. You're right. You know, a lot of people have, you know, very, you know, tight incomes. You know, people have fixed incomes. Mm-hmm. And I'm speaking specifically about, like, senior citizens. My grandmother, for example, she's retired. She's not going to be back in the workforce. Rising bills impact her because she has a fixed rate. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's households with large families in it, you know, multi-generational homes. I would imagine that, you know, you pay a lot of money. We always hear as kids, you know, like, turn that light off. You know, we're always being told that there's something that
yes.
we're doing wrong, you know, like turn the lights down or open the window to let some air in, use the fan, etc. But, you know, the utility rate, which is the kilowatt you know, per hour that we're charged, the actual rate that we're charged, has been steadily rising a lot in our state in the last few years. Most recently, January of this year, that's the part that really is kind of hurting Georgia families the most, I sense. You know, from, you know, college students to large households to seniors to everyone in between. I pay
single
a pretty...
Single mothers, too?
Single parents all the time. Yes, absolutely. You know, these definitely... this plays into the rising cost of living as well. Mm-hmm. And you could even argue the housing crisis, too, because, you know, we want more affordable homes, but, you know, once you get an affordable home, what are you going to do to keep the lights on in said home, you know? And to your point, you know, if a lot of your check is going towards your bill, then it leaves very little money left over for other necessities. Often that could be medicine, it could be school supplies, et cetera. Yeah. So, you know, this is definitely an important election here. Do you think that voting, you know, in the Public Service Commission, if more people voted in this election, do you think that would help help families in these situations?
100%, because the Public Service Commission election is one of the lowest turnouts. That's the lowest turnouts compared to other elections. And I understand the perspective where people go like, oh, the president, like, this is the year everybody should vote. Yes, but your local elections impact you directly. Like, your local elections, if it's your representative, if it's your commissioner from your county, public service commission, those are important because they live in your neighborhood. They live in your state. And sometimes those people actually leave the state to represent you in Washington, D.C. So they make decisions that are important to us. I feel like if more people know about the Public Service Commission, we could definitely make a change. Or we could have people on the board that actually care about our interests, that care about the working families, care about the single parents, care about the students that are still learning to be adults. Mm-hmm. Are the kids that unfortunately don't have parents and they're with guardians instead. So I would love to see the numbers go up. I remember for the presidential election, they said that Georgia was one of the biggest, like, people went out to vote for Georgia when it was with the presidential election. It would be amazing to see that on the news. Oh, the Public Service Commission, everybody.
A lot of people,
yes, oh my gosh. That would be amazing to see on the TV. And I'm like, okay, people are listening. And for that to continue, because they're on terms. The people on the board are on terms, I believe, every 6 years. So it would be great to see this to continue, not for the knowledge to go down the drain, because that then we would be back in the same cycle.
Absolutely. I do want to say that we do have Public Service Commission's elections coming up. You're going to see them on your ballot everywhere, regardless of where you live in Georgia. So as long as you are registered to vote, it does not matter whether you pay Georgia Power. It doesn't matter if you have a electric membership co-op or EMC. It doesn't matter if you pay your city for your electricity bill. You are eligible to vote in the Public Service Commission election, and I encourage folks to do so. Election day for the primary is on June 17th. Early voting will run from May 27th through Friday, June 13th.